Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered, behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have another really exciting interview ahead of us about someone who completely reinvented herself as a songwriter and keynote speaker at 64. Today, you'll be meeting Gail Taylor, a woman in the middle entrepreneur whose mission is to inspire folks to become their best selves. And she focuses on the topics of mental health and addictions, women's empowerment, and leveling up. Welcome to the show, Gail. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored to be here, Susie.
I'm so glad you're here too. And I know today we're going to have a really great conversation about your midlife entrepreneur story, which is super interesting. We're going to be talking about your business and what's going really well, and also what midlife issues might be getting in the way a little bit to some extent, or maybe to a lot of extent, and might be challenging for you in your life as being a business owner. So let's get things started. If you could tell us a little bit about how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, and what it is that you do in the world. So take it away.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I'm 68 and I had my first business when I was 10 years old.
Love that story.
I think I've been an entrepreneur all my life. I used to sell alleys.
I used to sell
alleys, like marbles.
Oh, they're called alleys? No.
Yeah, well, when I was 10 years old, they were called alleys. But you know how kids play with marbles? Well, we used to play for keeps. And I was really good at it. So I used to win them and then I'd put them in little packages and sell 100 alleys. And then I'd win another 100. And that was my first business. So yeah, I figure I've been an entrepreneur since I was 10 years old.
I think that is an accurate statement.
So, but how I got here, and I've had a number of businesses over the years, a number of that failed. So like I learned from my mistakes, but really what happened with this venture is that when I was 58, I started taking piano lessons and I had no music background and like I was learning scales and I had been a financial advisor for 25 years. Well, I guess 23 at the time. And so I was taking piano lessons and oh my God, I was loving it. Music kept flooding back into my life. And so I thought, you know what? After a couple of years of this, I thought I'm going to retire a little sooner than I had planned. I'm going to sell my practice and I'm going to study music full time. So I did that and I was studying like you could study through Berklee School of Music online and some of the local universities. I was taking bass guitar lessons, songwriting, ear training, keyboard, you name it. I was getting into all of it. And a couple of years into that, I thought, maybe I'll reinvent myself as a musician. And then when I shared that story with folks, I kept getting the same reaction over and over again. I kept getting, oh my God, that's so inspiring. I'm going to go do badeep-badeep. And they tell me something they had put on the back burner. Sometimes it was a musical instrument. Sometimes it was something completely different. But honest to God, I kept hearing that like every day. I heard it from strangers every time I shared the story. So I thought, whoa, I'm going to come out of retirement. I'm going to start a business, Gail Taylor Music, and I'm going to become a keynote speaker and help folks become their best selves. Because during all that time period of my business career, I had a parallel journey where I studied personal growth and peak performance for 40 years, like all of them, you know, Tony Robbins, Napoleon Hill, Norman Vincent Peale, Stephen Covey, you name it. And I was able to create what I call my best life. And so I thought, man, if I could help other people do this and make their goals, do the follow through to make their goals happen, that would be the ultimate for me. So that's how it happened.
I love that. It's a pretty big leap that you didn't even play piano at all, that you had no training and you went in so focused. I find that alone, with even not even thinking about the business, but just to dive into something, to recognize that you loved it so much and to allow yourself to be happy pursuing it, that's huge. And it's a huge regret for so many people that they don't allow themselves to be happy.
Yeah. And actually, that's one of the tools that I talk about a lot when it comes to your work and your career and your happiness, is that I really believe that you should find a passion. You should find your purpose in life. And that's what you should go after. I mean, I could practice on my piano for 2 to 4 hours a day with no problem because I was enjoying it. Right. My piano teacher, one of them would often say, she practices. So many of her students didn't practice. So she was like making like she was crying. She was so happy. But I think you spend 50% of your waking, 50% of your life, because, or sorry, 50% of your waking hours at work, right? 50% of your waking hours are at work. So I really believe that you should go after something that you're passionate about, that you like doing, figure it out and make that your career. And something that some people say, you know, I have this career because I have to pay the mortgage and, you know, put the kids in school and so on and so forth. But that job that they don't like, somebody else would love it. Somebody else, that would be their passion, and they could, they have the job that, you know, like, that's what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of jobs out there that if you're in the right place, then you're going to go to work every day with the bounce in your step. And then staying young is just a concept. It just happens.
Now, why do you think that you didn't notice music until after you retired?
Because I was so, I liked what I was doing so much that, like, when I was younger, I did a lot of, I went to all the concerts. I mean, I was, you know, I was in the 60s and 70s. I didn't miss any of the concerts. Rolling Stones, Queen, Alice Cooper. I went to all the rock concerts. Hell, I still go to them. and so, but what happened was, when I got into the investment industry, I started listening to books in my car. Instead of putting on the radio, I was putting an audio book on. And that's usually when you listen to a lot of your music, right? Is when you're in the car. So I'm working 10 hours a day. I'm listening to books in the car. I'm listening to books on the airplanes. And so enjoying it, but without even noticing, I wasn't listening to music.
That's the thing at our age, and bada boom, bada bing, 20 years goes by or something like that. And oh, you you loved music, but you didn't have it in your life just like that. And then decades go by. So what was it that encouraged you to start taking those piano lessons? What was it that where you went, oh, I think this is a good time for me to do this?
Well, okay. And this goes back a step, because there was still a little bit of music in my life for this to have happened. I used to have, we had a cottage, and the grandkids and everyone would come over to the cottage, right? So I bought this game called Rock Band. Do you remember Rock Band? It was like the Nintendo Wii console. Okay. So I bought this game Rock Band, and my husband was the cook in the house. So he'd be making supper and I'd be, you know, all alone looking for something to do. So I would play Rock Band with the guitar, with the fake guitar. We are the champions. Or the Eye of the Tiger. And one day, one of my sisters said to me, you spend so much time playing that pretend instrument. Why don't you learn how to play a real one? And I thought, what a novel concept. But another thing that I did in my mid-50s was, as I was working full-time, I went back to Queen's University and got an MBA. And so I wasn't going to take up an instrument. I was studying at the time, or I had just finished. A few years later, I thought, well, maybe I'll see if I could learn how to play a keyboard. And I really, really liked it.
That's so great. And it's so interesting. And it's just such a reminder that time really does fly. And you'll hear some other stories in my other podcast, Women in the Middle, I was just sharing in our pre-conversation that I interviewed a couple of musicians who are professional musicians, and now they're doing something else. And it's just so, I'm fascinated by that pivot point when you have that insight into what you actually want. And then the ability to trust taking a step in that direction and noticing and allowing yourself to pursue it because it makes you happy. Like, we talk about it as if, you know, so many people are doing it, but they're not doing it. And this is exactly the insight that you had about sharing with people what you decided to do. So many people aren't doing what they really want to do. They don't think it's possible for them.
Yeah, I know. And one of my beliefs are that you don't settle. But, you know, pulling away from the music, when you talk about some of your listeners thinking, yeah, I'm not doing what I want, but I'm not going to be able to move on. Sometimes you can pivot and you can find that dream within the infrastructure of what you have.
Yes.
Sometimes, like I've heard a lot of people say, I love my job, but I'm not happy because the environment I'm in is a little bit toxic. So there's, you know, moving to another company that doesn't have that environment, you know, moving to another division in your company. Sometimes it's as simple as that. I actually had an experience myself where about 15 years into my career, there was something missing. I was happy. Everything was going good. I managed about $80 million at the time. And something was missing and I didn't know what it was. So I hired a business coach and this guy said to me, Gail, well, tell me what Gail Taylor is all about and then tell me what your practice is all about. And I said, no problem. Here's the deal. I want to continue to work until I'm done. I want to help my clients become financially independent so that they can retire with the same lifestyle they have now. I want to make myself financially independent so that I can stop working and I can continue on my journey and do the philanthropic work and the volunteer work because I want to make the world a better place. And this guy said to me, yeah, Gail, that's not how it works. You don't wait until you retire to do your passion. Either we figure out how to incorporate that passion into your practice, or you might as well just sell your practice now and move on. And I thought, whoa, this is like drastic. And so I worked with him through some exercises and started looking at some options. And that's when I stumbled on socially responsible investing. And socially responsible investing, it was ESG. So instead of a traditional practice, I decided I was going to shift to a responsible practice. So that meant all the companies that we were going to invest in going forward environmentally. So they had to be either neutral or positive for the environment. And I mean, I live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I didn't screen out the oil industry. But I bought the companies that were spending R&D dollars on alternative energies and spending R&D dollars on better ways to clean up the messes that they make. And then on the social side, screened out companies that had sweatshops or that were hiring local thugs to run the businesses and intimidate the employees. And on the governance side, companies that, you know, had all male boards, no diversity, no. And so once I stumbled onto this responsible investing, and because it was a conservative practice, my clients didn't even have to give up returns. It was like, whoa, this is going to be perfect. So when I made that decision, okay, I'm going to pivot here. I'm going to shift to from a traditional practice to a responsible practice. And honest to God, Susie, I expected to take a haircut. Like, I thought I was going to lose at least 20% of my assets and maybe go down to, you know, $64 million. And that's a big chunk of my paycheck, too. But I thought, I don't care. I'm going after this. This is my passion. Well, the opposite happened. My clients loved it. They embraced it. It was like, okay, why didn't you bring this to us sooner? And wow. Then when I actually retired 10 years later, I was up to like $130 million under management. So it just, you know, I shared that story just to show your listeners that you can do some pivots within your own. It doesn't mean you have to give your notice and go out and find something new.
Yeah.
You can find it within the infrastructure of where you're working right now. And yeah, especially like, I don't know, I have so much compassion for teachers and nurses and anyone in those education or medical professions, because COVID just, you know, caused reinvention, whether you wanted it or not.
Exactly. I've had several clients too, who've also come to that decision. And a lot of times you can try an internal type of pivot, not a leave everything and start something completely new. And sometimes it's a perfect fit and sometimes it's a step along the way. But regardless, it moves people forward, which is better than being unstuck. Better than being stuck. Getting unstuck requires a decision. And when you make a decision to change anything, it just helps you figure out even more what it is that you want. You know, that's what I found. But I love that story. And it's also a reminder about the importance of being authentic. So when you are authentic and have a little bit of openness and creativity, you can absolutely figure out how to bring more of you into your business. And by you doing that with those ethical investments, that's it. That's such a great example.
Yeah, definitely brought me into the equation at a much higher level. And so yeah, that was good. And what you just said about, you know, however it is you pivot, or what COVID did to you even, I'm penning a book right now called Curveballs. And it's coming with me on the speaking circuit in 2024. And Curveballs is all personal stories and tools that people can use to be their best selves. And one of them is, like, that's what, to, like, to me, curveballs, now, I'm going to backtrack, curveballs is, it's not the curveballs that life throws at you, because life's going to throw curveballs at you unless you don't go out of the house.
Right.
I mean, life is, and then it still will probably, but life is going to throw curveballs at you. It's not the curveballs, it's what you do with them. It's what you learn from them. It's how you deal with them. And, you know, some of them can be pretty serious, and, you know, like losing a job from because of COVID. That was a big one for a lot of folks. But, you know, how do you turn that around and make it into something that's going to put that bounce back in your step?
Oh, I love the bounce. The bounce is so good. Now, one of the main things we talk about in this podcast is where midlife challenges get in the way of you running your business the way you want to. Just some challenges that come up with you going down the entrepreneurial road that you're on. And the number one challenge you mentioned in your notes, I thought was fascinating. And you said it was getting the people in your life, you know, the people that matter to you, to understand why you're not interested in retirement at this point. Like, that classic idea of what retirement is not for you right now. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking it's not for me right now, and maybe not for me ever.
Bingo.
I mean, I think I'm going to be like Mick Jagger's not going on tour at 80. And I think, I thought I heard my husband watching Willie Nelson's concert last night, and it was his 90th birthday.
Oh my gosh, I was just watching something with Dick Van Dyke, and okay. 98.
Right. yeah,
amazing.
Exactly.
Amazing.
So I think what happened is, in our country and in many other countries, the culture has decided, they arbitrarily picked the age of 65 and said that, you know, you should stop working at 65 and go golfing or do whatever it is you want. And if you do really well in your career and you make enough money to stop working younger than 65, bonus, that's even better. Well, I don't get that, because to me, working is living. If you're working at something that you're passionate about, then it's, you're living, and you're just making money for that part of your life. And so it doesn't make sense to me that there's a time frame, like a timeline, that you would stop doing that. You know, if I won the lottery tomorrow, if you told me tomorrow, I mean, yeah, I'm financially independent for retirement if I wanted to, but if you said, you know, you're going to win $5 million tomorrow, so would you hang it up? No, I wouldn't hang it up for $20 million. I'm not, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, so the money part of it is relevant, but I'm doing something that I love to do. And I think the age part doesn't, it's not a concept that makes a lot of sense to me.
Right.
And so, you know, explaining it to my family and explaining that that's not who I am. It wasn't so challenging because they all know me, but it did have to take place.
Yeah, absolutely. Now tell me more about what it is that you really want to do. I know it involves going on stage. So tell us more about where you're going.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if you know this, but I just finished a Kickstarter campaign, and I'm not sure when this podcast is going to air, but my Kickstarter will end on December the 22nd. And it's 100% funded, so everything went really, really perfect. And the whole the idea behind it was to raise a little bit of funds to cover the cost of writing the book and hiring people to work with me to get myself booked on the speaking circuit for all of 2024. I've been on stage speaking for 30 years, but in finance. Right. Mm-hmm. I wasn't getting paid to do it. I just spoke at conferences and in front of investors and advisors just to talk about finance and responsible investing in the later years. And so I love it. I love being on stage. I love that, my live music skills aren't quite there. I'm not sure they ever will be. It doesn't matter. I've got the gift of the gab. So when I get on stage, I can talk and share a personal story, some insights as to how you can do follow through with your goals. And then I share one of my songs and the video that goes with it on the big screen behind me.
Mm.
And so it's just so, I'm just so excited about doing this and being able to, you know, my goal is conferences in the 500 to 2,000 people range. And we're just starting now as far as how the business evolved. We're just starting now to book them. I got picked up by representation by the Speakers Bureau of Canada. And so now I've got them as my representation. And so that's the goal for the next 3 years is to just go from stage to stage, share my stories, share my music, and help folks with whether it's loved ones of addicts dealing with, you know, giving themselves permission to be happy, or whether it's women, empowering women, leveling up the corporate world, just teaching people. What's the difference between you folks, the folks that are listening to this podcast and that'll be listening to me on stage? What's the difference with them and the people that actually reach their goal? You know, whether you're watching Shark Tank or Dragon's Den, or you're saying, okay, how do you get into one of those chairs? What did they do differently? And it's really not rocket science and it's not magic. It's just tools and being able to follow through on what it is. And that's something you said about the midlife thing, you know, being able to follow through at this age is, I think, easier.
That's interesting that you said that, because I'm looking at your notes and I'm reminded that you are involved with your mother. And
yeah.
And she's 93. And you're coordinating her move. So that's the type of thing that, as much as you're committed to doing it and you want to do it, it can get in the way of your schedule, your commitments at work, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So not really.
Oh, okay.
Because time management is one of my superpowers. It's also one of the things I talk about when it's talking about leveling up. It's kind of cool. My mom's 93 and she lives in her own apartment, and physically and mentally she's there, but she decided to move to a seniors residence because she's getting bored with the winter. She's finding the winters too long and she can't get out enough to the clubs to play bridge and euchre. But in the seniors' residence, they have all the activities, right? So that's why she decided to move. And she actually lives across the country from me. She lives in Ottawa. And so I said to her, look, I'll coordinate your move for you. It's basically event planning and it's in my wheelhouse. I like doing it. I'm good at it. I'm organized. And so she said, okay, no problem. So every day I just spend about an hour figuring out what to move forward. I made the to-do list of all the things you have to do when you're going to move and just kept working through it. And now I'm going to fly to Ottawa on January 3rd and spend a couple of weeks with her and pack up all the boxes and do the actual move. But honest to God, it's been fun. It's been an enjoyable experience in sharing with my mom.
Oh, I love that. I think you're awesome, Gail, I have to say. I love everything you're doing. How can people best get a hold of you?
Best way is go to my website, because every link, everything is there. And so it's just Gail Taylor Music, GAILTAYLOR. So GailTaylorMusic.com. Once you're on my website, it'll take you to everything, because I'm everywhere. My music is on all the streaming platforms, and I have a YouTube channel, and all the social media. Heck, I even do TikToks. I did a little rapping TikTok to try and get people to go to my Kickstarter program. It was going. You know that rapping's not what I do. You might be thinking I belong in the zoo. And then it went on and on.
You're hilarious. Thank you so much for taking the time from your day and to share your story. I really appreciate how you're just going for it. You're leaning in and you are really prepared to do great things and to give back and serve in a way that you know is needed. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thank you so much for letting me be here. I enjoyed this too. This was awesome.
Amazing. Okay, well, that is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It is never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with this show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.